Mid-Continent Grid Solutions will be hosting open houses throughout the area to share information and hear from the public regarding the proposed 765 kV power line project. The first of these is taking place right now in Richland Center until 1 p.m. at the Richland Center High School. Later today, there will be an open house in Gaze Mills at the Gaze Mills Community Center from 4 p.m. until 7. In Sauk County, there will be an open house in Baraboo tomorrow at the UW-Platteville Baraboo Lang Center from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Representative Tony Kurtz has told me that he will be in attendance at the Baraboo Open House. I will do a proper story on the open house in Richland Center today. I honestly got back to the studio 5 minutes before this newscast, so I haven't had a chance to do that. I will tell everyone out there that I did have an extensive conversation today with a representative from Mid-Continent Solutions, and he did verbally commit to an appearance on WRCO's morning show, which we will arrange as soon as we can. Phil Nee, who of course is our general manager, heard that about 2 minutes before you did. So as soon as we can, we'll get in touch with that gentleman and get some folks from this power company on the air here where we can ask them some questions and you can hear their responses right here at WRCO. According to the latest survey from Gas Buddy, gasoline prices in Wisconsin have climbed by 3.1 cents per gallon in the past week, bringing the state average to $3.91 per gallon. This current pricing reflects a 3-cent increase compared to just 1 month ago, and a significant jump of 85.1 cents per gallon over last year's rates. During this period, consumers in Wisconsin saw a wide range of prices at the pump, with the cheapest station offering fuel at $3.49 per gallon, the most expensive $4.59 per gallon, creating a notable spread of $1.10 per gallon across the state. The upward trend is mirrored on a national scale, where the average price of gasoline rose by 2.9 cents per gallon this week to reach $4.05 per gallon. While the national average has actually decreased by 5 cents in the last month, it remains 92.6 cents higher per gallon than it was at this time last year. Additionally, the national average for diesel has seen a sharp increase, rising 16.6 cents from a week ago to stand at $5.58 per gallon. The Richland Hospital and Clinics recently hosted its annual Club Scrub program, providing middle school students in grades 6 through 8 with a unique hands-on look at the diverse world of healthcare. This free initiative offers participants the chance to step outside the classroom and into a clinical environment where they can interact directly with professionals across various departments. By showcasing both clinical and non-clinical roles, the program aims to spark early interest in medical careers and encourages students to join organizations like Health Occupations Students of America, HOSA. TRHC remains a dedicated supporter of future professionals, sponsoring local HOSA chapters at Richland Center and Riverdale High Schools. One of the standout moments from this year's session occurred when Lacey Breninger, a member of the laboratory team, allowed students to observe her prenatal ultrasound appointment conducted by Dr. Andrew Wright. This rare real-world glimpse into obstetrics and patient care left a profound impact on the attendees. One student shared that while they always had a general interest in nursing, witnessing the session solidified their dream of becoming an OB nurse and participating in the hospital's Volunteen program for high school students. Such personal connections help demystify the medical field and turn abstract career goals into tangible aspirations. The exploration extended well beyond the exam room, as students rotated through the emergency department, nutrition services, surgery, and clinic operations. Parents noted that the immersive nature of the event kept their children engaged and eager to return, highlighting the community's growing interest in these educational outreach efforts. Ken Nelson, Vice President and Chief Nursing Officer at TRHC, emphasized that Club Scrub is a cornerstone of the organization's commitment to community outreach, showcasing the expertise and compassion of the hospital staff while inspiring the next generation. The success of the day was made possible through the coordination of Sarah Stibbe and the volunteer efforts of numerous TRHC team members who served as mentors. Experts from across the hospital, including nursing staff, specialists, and administrative leaders, dedicated their time to teaching the students. As inquiries for next year's program already begin to arrive, the Richland Hospital and Clinics continues to look forward to fostering these connections and helping students discover the many rewarding paths available within the healthcare industry. The Richland Center Planning Commission is scheduled to meet Wednesday, August 26th at 5:30 p.m. in the Municipal Building Council Room to address new business and review recent administrative efforts. The primary agenda item for this session is the request from Schreiber Foods Incorporated for a conditional use permit at 920 Sextonville Road, intended to authorize dairy product processing and support planned infrastructure improvements, including whey silo additions and a new intake bay. This request follows the Commission's recent actions in July, where members finalized recommendations regarding the conveyance of a 929 West Seminary Street address to Lydia's House Ministries and the proposed ordinance amendment for electronic message center signs on public property. Additionally, the Commission will review the Zoning Administrator's Report for July 2026, which details a busy period of permit activity and project inquiries. The Richland County Executive and Finance Standing Committee will convene tonight at 5 o'clock in the Richland County Boardroom of the Courthouse. The committee will address several significant items, including an update on the wage scale, discussions regarding the 2027 county health insurance, and a review of the preliminary 2027 county draft budget. Additionally, the committee will deliberate on ATV and UTV usage in the Ash Creek Forest. The agenda also includes a closed session where members may discuss the employment, compensation, or performance evaluation of the county administrator, followed by a potential return to open session to take action on any items from the closed session. The meeting will conclude after addressing correspondence and future agenda items. Virtual attendance options are available. Get ready for a day filled with nostalgia and classic hits as Beatlefest 2026 comes to the backyard of the Spring Green General Store Sunday, August 30th. This much-anticipated community event kicks off at 11 a.m. and features Beatles music performed by a talented lineup of local bands, concluding approximately 5 p.m. Whether you're a lifelong fan or discovering the magic of the Fab Four for the first time, this celebration is a great way to spend a summer Sunday. The festivities are held at 137 South Albany Street, and while there is no charge to attend the event, there are plenty of ways to enjoy the day. Menu service begins at 11 a.m., and refreshment options include beer from Lake Louis Beer and hard cider from the Cider Farm. Please remember that no carry-ins are permitted. To stay comfortable throughout the afternoon, attendees are encouraged to bring their own chairs, sunscreen, and bug spray, though you are kindly asked to leave your pets at home. Commemorate the day by picking up one of the official Beatlefest t-shirts, which are available in a variety of colors and styles, including V-neck and crew neck options. For more information or specific inquiries, you can reach out to Karin Dittmar Miller at 608-588-7070. They look forward to seeing the community come together for this incredible local musical showcase. The Iowa County Communications Center received a report of a single vehicle rollover accident in the 2000 block of County Road BB Saturday at 10:50 p.m. The Ridgeway Fire Department, Dodgeville EMS, and Iowa County deputies responded to the scene. Two individuals were transported to the hospital for further evaluation. No further details have been released to this point. The serene backdrop of Rice Lake Airport was recently disrupted, not by the roar of airplane engines, but by the high-speed pursuit of a vehicle on nearby 19th Street. A deputy patrolling the area witnessed a driver pushing their vehicle to a staggering 114 miles per hour in a strictly regulated 55 mile per hour zone, creating a situation that was as dangerous as it was unexpected. Upon being pulled over, the driver offered an explanation that revealed the source of his reckless urgency, having just departed a nearby golf course. He admitted to a performance so dismal that he had played a horrible round and ultimately quit early after losing every single golf ball in his bag. His attempt to outrun his frustrations on the fairway led him to treat the public highway like an open runway. While the local authorities acknowledged that golf is a sport capable of testing anyone's patience, they were quick to emphasize that such frustration provides no excuse for exceeding the speed limit by more than double. The incident serves as a stark reminder for all residents: when the game goes south, the driving range is the appropriate place to vent, not the driving lane. For this particular golfer, the day ended with a penalty much steeper than any bunker could ever provide. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets now to help hospitals and transfusion centers stay prepared to help all patients. There will be several blood drives in the area this week. Drives are being held today from now until 4 o'clock at West Bicoon Prairie Church and from 1 until 6 at Holy Family Catholic Church in Laval. There will also be a blood drive tomorrow from 11:30 to 5:30 at St. John's Catholic Church Gym in Muscadet. Blood drives will also be held Friday from 9:30 to 1:30 at the Waniwak Public Library and from 11 to 4 at the Lafarge Community Center and from noon to 5 at St. Anthony and Philip Parish Center in Highland. Appointments may be made by calling 800-RED-CROSS, visiting redcrossblood.org, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. Walk-ins are always welcome. Welcome back to the News at Noon. The U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Development is currently accepting applications for its Housing Preservation Grants Program until September 8th. This initiative provides critical funding to government entities, federally recognized Indian tribes, nonprofit organizations, and faith-based organizations to repair or rehabilitate homes, rental properties, and co-ops occupied by low and very low-income residents in rural areas. USDA Rural Development Wisconsin State Director Andrew C. Iverson highlighted the program's impact, noting that it makes homes more affordable, accessible, and secure for families, seniors, and individuals with disabilities. According to Iverson, these investments help strengthen rural Wisconsin communities by enabling residents to meet basic housing needs. Eligible projects under the program can address various health and safety updates. These include installing or extending plumbing, mechanical or electrical systems, repairing or replacing roofs, and replacing severely deteriorated siding, porches, or stoops. The grants also support the installation of insulation and combination storm windows and doors, as well as interior or exterior alterations to improve accessibility for handicapped family members. Additionally, projects may qualify under other assistance activities defined by the Code of Federal Regulations. For inquiries or application assistance, interested parties may contact USDA Rural Development Wisconsin Acting Housing Director Jill Lindholm at Jillian, J-I-L-L-I-A-N, .Lindholm, L-I-N-D-H-O-L-M, at USDA.gov. Further information is available on the USDA Rural Development website. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation have initiated a significant transformation of the state's transit landscape, securing over $32 million in federal funding dedicated to 49 local improvement projects. This substantial financial injection delivered through the Transportation Alternatives Program is specifically designed to enhance non-motorized travel by expanding bicycle and pedestrian facilities, developing trail projects, and supporting the safe routes to school program. By prioritizing these diverse modes of transportation, the administration aims to foster safer, better connected communities where residents can navigate their neighborhoods with greater ease and security. Beyond these immediate federal grants, the state is also embarking on a massive long-term investment through the final 2025 through 2027 biennial budget. This legislative package provides a staggering $1.1 billion in new funding to modernize Wisconsin's aging infrastructure, which has seen more than 9,600 miles of roads and 2,400 bridges improved since 2019. The budget includes historic increases for state highway rehabilitation, significant boosts to general transportation aids for local municipalities, and a dedicated $150 million investment in the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program to support the state's vital farming and forestry industries. The head of the Marquette Law School, poll says a supposed social experiment by a group releasing false polling data didn't get the attention of reputable agencies. Charles Franklin tells WISN's Upfront the polling data by Median Strategies never crossed his mind when handling the polling data ahead of the Wisconsin primary election. The fake polling by Median Strategies was caught after a candidate in the Los Angeles mayor's race posted the outfit's polling data on social media. The group claimed they were performing a, quote, social experiment. The mayor of New Berlin, Wisconsin, is facing criticism for posting racist jokes and memes on his personal social media feeds. A Muslim advocacy group called attention to the post by Mayor Dave Ament last week. The messages which have since been deleted, dated back months and featured anti-Muslim messages, some of which were AI-generated. Some of the messages called for the closure of all mosques in America, while others made crude jokes of Muslims in general. The city of New Berlin told Fox 6 Milwaukee that the mayor's personal page does not represent the views of the city. Mayor Ament also released a statement saying he was simply sharing matters of public concern and that he supports all faiths to practice their religion. A Wisconsin high school football player has died after being injured in a game last week. An Alma Center Lincoln High School senior has died after being injured during a football game against Turtle Lake. District Superintendent Drew Semmingson says Adam Massman was active in sports, clubs, and activities and touched many lives across the school community. EMTs treated Massman at the game before he was taken to a hospital, where he later died. The district is not releasing details about the injury at the family's request. Counselors will be available for students, parents, and friends beginning today. In his weekly update, Senator Howard Markline discussed how the landscape of Wisconsin's energy sector is undergoing a profound transformation driven by a dual necessity to modernize aging infrastructure and transition toward renewable energy sources. While these investments are critical for maintaining the long-term reliability of the electric grid, they have come at a significant financial cost to the average resident. Since early 2020, residential electricity prices in the state have surged by over 40%, placing an unprecedented strain on household budgets. This trend highlights a growing tension between the technical demands of a 21st century power system and the fundamental need for utility services to remain affordable for the public. A major driver of these rising costs is the massive capital required for infrastructure projects, upgrading traditional power plants, converting facilities to natural gas, and the rapid expansion of wind and solar farms all require substantial upfront funding. Furthermore, as the geography of energy generation shifts towards decentralized renewable sites, the state must invest hundreds of millions of dollars into new high-voltage transmission lines to move that power to consumers. Because these utilities operate on a model where infrastructure costs are recovered through ratepayer fees, every new mile of wire and every new solar array eventually manifests as a higher line item on monthly utility statements. In response to these financial pressures, legislative advocacy has become a primary tool for protecting consumers. Efforts to mitigate the impact on residents include significant policy changes, such as the elimination of sales tax on residential energy bills to provide immediate relief. Beyond direct tax cuts, advocates are pushing for guardrail legislation designed to ensure that large-scale industrial projects like data centers bear the full weight of their own energy demands, rather than shifting those costs onto traditional ratepayers. By focusing on local control and rigorous oversight of the Public Service Commission's approval processes, policymakers aim to ensure that Wisconsin's march toward energy modernization does not leave its citizens behind. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is inviting the public to provide critical feedback on the allocation of future opioid settlement funds. As the state continues to manage the financial impact of litigation against the pharmaceutical industry, officials are seeking input on the best strategies to address the ongoing opioid crisis. Wisconsin is set to receive a total of more than $874 million. Between 2022 and 2038, with $11.6 million earmarked for the upcoming year to support vital prevention, treatment, and recovery services. This funding aims to expand programming, reduce overdose deaths, and limit the spread of infectious diseases across Wisconsin communities. Michelle Hayes, the DHS Director of Substance Use Initiatives, emphasized the importance of local perspectives, noting that feedback from those familiar with specific community needs is essential for determining how to best adapt response to save lives. Interested individuals can submit their ideas through an online survey that will remain open until September 30th. Southwest Wisconsin Technical College is actively working to strengthen emergency medical services across the region, a mission significantly bolstered by a state emergency medical services education grant. This initiative focuses on expanding access to vital training, as evidenced by a recent EMT class in Dodgeville that drew 38 students. To accommodate this group, classes were hosted at both the EMS station and garage and the Iowa County Sheriff's Department, demonstrating the college's commitment to flexible local education. The grant is particularly vital for rural communities where the need for trained providers is acute. According to data provided by the college, 72% of the 50 EMS providers within its district are volunteers, which is a significantly higher figure than the 41% statewide average. State Senator Howard Markline has championed the grant, emphasizing the necessity of accessible regional training to maintain essential services for residents in southwestern Wisconsin. The funding supports various aspects of EMS education, including instructor training, refresher courses, equipment upgrades, and expanded outreach. All of these efforts are aimed at building a stronger pipeline of professionals and volunteers. Chris Scoville, an academic lead and director instructor at Southwest Tech, highlighted the importance of community involvement, noting that volunteers are essential to local operations and keeping squads running. Additionally, the college has bolstered its training capabilities by purchasing an ambulance from the Dodgeville Ambulance Service. Scoville described this collaborative move as a perfect opportunity to enhance local training resources, calling it a win-win for both the college and the community. Individuals who are interested in pursuing EMS training and giving back to their communities are encouraged to reach out to their local EMS department for more information. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation, WSDOT, is currently inviting public participation in the review of its annual Americans with Disabilities Act transition plan. This essential document details the department's comprehensive strategies for enhancing accessibility across the state's vast transportation network, covering everything from roadside facilities to public right-of-way navigability and inclusive input processes. By identifying existing barriers within infrastructure and setting clear priorities for their removal, the plan serves as a roadmap for ensuring that Wisconsin's programs and services remain open and accessible to all residents. WSDOT Secretary Christina Boardman emphasized that transportation should be accessible to everyone, noting that every infrastructure upgrade brings the state closer to a truly inclusive system. Recent successes highlight this commitment, such as the opening of new safety rest areas along I-43. These modern facilities feature ADA-compliant, family-assisted restrooms equipped with universal changing stations. Looking forward, the department plans to replace several more outdated rest areas over the next decade. Additionally, the department made significant strides in pedestrian safety in 2025 by installing approximately 2,500 curb ramps featuring detectable warning surfaces to assist individuals with visual impairments. The draft 2026 ADA transition plan is now available for public inspection at wisconsindot.gov/ADA. Citizens are encouraged to share their perspectives to help inform smarter investments and safer networks. Public comments will be accepted through Thursday, September 17th. The Wisconsin Army National Guard officially concluded a 16-day state activation on August 15th, following extensive support for storm recovery efforts in Winnebago County. The mission, known as Task Force Sturgeon, began July 30th after Governor Tony Evers declared a state of emergency. This declaration was prompted by severe weather that included high winds, hail, and a confirmed EF3 tornado, causing significant damage to local infrastructure, power outages, and disruptions to public public water systems in the Menasha and Appleton areas. Governor Evers emphasized that the activation was essential to ensuring every available resource was utilized to restore services and maintain community safety. He expressed deep gratitude for the citizen soldiers who stepped forward to help their neighbors, noting that their presence would help the community recover even stronger than before. The initial request for assistance came from Winnebago County Emergency Management Director Eric Rasmussen, who identified a critical need for support in restoring essential services to the most severely impacted areas. For many of the soldiers involved, the mission was deeply personal. Chief Warrant Officer 3, Joshua Bernichak, the task force officer in charge during the second week, highlighted that some participants lived in the very communities they were serving. He described the mission as a true embodiment of the citizen-soldier concept, requiring rapid mobilization and critical thinking. Bernichak noted that while every mission presents unique challenges, the Guard's rigorous training allowed them to adapt and execute the plan effectively, ultimately helping the community move forward with its recovery. Before I begin the vital statistics, we have today's two winners in the Grace Calendar raffle. They are $50 winners, ticket number 103, Amy Buttress from Lone Rock, and on ticket 2701, Ionia Gonzalez of Richland Center. Congratulations to both of you.